There are just 19 days left until Christmas. 19 days. And that means that it's crunch time for finishing up all that you have to have done for the season and all those things that you want to have done for this season. But here's the thing. No matter how many things we have to or want to take care of, we've all got the same amount of time every day that everyone else has. Unless, of course, that person, you know, goes to be with the Lord on that particular day. But then talking about how much time we spend on this earth won't really matter all that much because they will have quite literally been spent. That said, just how much time will have been spent? Well, someone figured out that if you live to be only 70, that you'll have spent an average of 23 years sleeping, 17 years working, 11 years of your life watching videos and playing games, and you'll have spent 6 years of your life in a car, bus, train, or plane. Plus, you'll have spent 6 years of your life eating. And, you know, for some of us that might be more, and for some of us that might be less. And when it comes to calculating the time it takes in a lifetime of getting ourselves all primped and polished, you know, putting our ties on straight and combing our hairs and shaving or whatever, us guys might take about 2 years of our entire life, while ladies, they probably spend more years than guys can count. Anyway, whether those figures are accurate for you or not, that's just for the average person who reaches 70. The fact still remains, though, that if someone considers themselves a Sunday Christian, and that is a Christian who only assembles either in person or online for just 1 hour a week on a Sunday, then by the time your time is done, you'll have spent comparatively just 1 year assembled with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I would like to think that most of us will have logged in more than just 1 year in the assembly, and not just because we're over 70, because, you know, if you're over 70, then chronologically you're spending more time, right? But of course, because you're dedicated. You're dedicated to your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so you've made the choice to spend the time that you've been blessed with to be with your church family, whenever you get the chance. And when we stop to think about it, you know, 70 or 80 years isn't a whole lot of time. And of course, the older we get, the more and more we realize that that's true. And then when we've spent our time and it's our time of transition, you know, when our time in these bodies ends and we go on to live forever and ever with the Lord, well, when you think about forever and ever with the Lord, that's a long, 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 long time. And so really, no matter the season you're in, we need to spend the time we have now wisely. Even if you say, hey, with COVID-19, I've got too much time on my hands. Well, you still need to use that time wisely. Now, I often say our time. You know, you need to use your time. I need to use my time wisely. But really, it's time that has been entrusted to our care by God. And that's because the Bible tells us that all life comes from God. All things were created by God. For example, over in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. So in our life is a trust given to us by God, making it more of a stewardship, if you will, thing, rather than an ownership thing. You know, we've been entrusted with our time, okay? We've been given it. And so God says that as he has entrusted certain things into your hands, he expects you to use them for his will, to his glory. Think about it. You know, he's given you your time. He's given you your money. He's given you your abilities. He's given you relationships. He has given you intelligence. And he has also given you the freedom of choice. to do what you will with those things. Everything good comes from God. Everything good that we have is a gift. Of course, it's not wrapped up in nice shiny paper and bows like for Christmas or whatever, but it's a gift from God. And giving us what he has given us, God says, you know, I trust this, whatever this is, including time, to you. God has entrusted what we've been given to use to his glory during our brief blip, if you will, on this earth. And in the end, he's going to see just how well we use our time, and how well we use our money, and how well we use our intelligence, and so on, of course. Romans 14:12 tells us that each of us will give an account of himself to God. And so just like we'll watch what people do with the gifts that we give them come Christmas Day, God is going to watch what we do with whatever gifts he has given to each of us. For example, back in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 14 through 30, Jesus tells us in the parable of the talents that God expects us to use whatever we have been given, and not to go off and bury it away somewhere, you know? And that he rewards those who have been faithful, watchful, and diligent in their service to him. And since time is a precious commodity that's constantly running out and is something that God expects us to use wisely, it seems like a good time to talk about analyzing and prioritizing the time that God has given us, especially during this time of the year when we tend to let our time with God and his church to be the first to give way to other activities. So let's go ahead and open up our Bibles to Ephesians. And our main passage today is really only a couple of verses, but we'll be going back to this from time to time. So open up to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's go ahead and read verses 15 through 17. Again, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. There God tells us to be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, let's just focus on these three verses, okay? The Bible says here that it is a mark of wisdom if we can make the best use of our time. Verse 15 plainly says that we are to not live as unwise, but as wise. And verse 17 says that we're not to be foolish. Simply put, people who manage their time well, God considers wise. Now, just like everything else that God has given us, there's no problem with the gift itself, okay? The problem is the way the gift is used. Think about it. You know, if we give a little boy a T-ball set for Christmas and they proceed to use the bat to club their sister, is the problem with the bat? Well, no, right? You know, is there a problem with the boy? Yes, and, you know, because he's using that gift the wrong way, and, you know, there might be a problem with his parents too, but that's another topic for another time. Now, think about time. The problem is not with time, and the problem is not a lack of time. The problem is with our choices that we use the time for. Think about it. The problem is not that we don't have enough time. The problem is that we don't use our time wisely. We don't always make the best choices about time. And those poor choices become the source of our stress and the strain that we have in our lives, especially during seasons like this. And we're not just talking about holiday seasons, but the season of COVID and everything. It can be quite stressful. You say, well, I've got too much time, not that I don't have enough time. Well, again, we need to use that time productively, okay? Think about it. Those poor choices, those choices that don't agree with God's will, God calls sin. And we're all guilty of it, Romans 3:23. Ever since Adam and Eve in the garden, back in Genesis, God has given us the freedom to choose. Sadly, we often make some very poor choices and sin. Again, we all have the exact same amount of time in a day. You and me, everyone around us, we all have 24 hours a day, 1,444 minutes, 86,400 seconds in a day. So, what's the difference? What's the difference between those people who can manage to do all of their Christmas shopping in one day versus someone who takes 2, 3, 4 weeks or months? You know, what makes some people more effective with their time or more successful or be able to get more done than others? What's the difference? Do they somehow have more time? Do they have a little time turner or a TARDIS or some way to go back in the future? Maybe a DeLorean? I don't know, you know? No, they don't, okay? They just make better choices with their time. And that's our choice. The power of choice is in our hands. We can make better choices in how we choose to use our time. It's all about our ability to choose, right? It's all about the ability to choose or, you know, to pick out things in life as our priorities. And so one of the things that we've got to do is learn to focus our life and know just what really matters and what doesn't matter. And that means that we have to evaluate and often re-evaluate our choices all of the time, because we can easily stray off course. And when we do that, well, you know, that's when we find ourselves all stressed out and drained. And boy, that doesn't happen to us all too easily during the holidays, because there are so many things, so many events, and so many people competing for our time. Even with COVID-19, it's still there, okay? Except now you've got all these restrictions, so how do you manage to do all that? You know, it just gets so complicated. Well, get this. The same ability to make bad choices is also the same ability to make good choices. We've all been given free will to choose. And so we can choose a godly choice. And how do we do that? Well, by knowing what God wants. That simple. Back in verse 15, in our Ephesians passage, the Apostle Paul warns us about our choices when he writes again, "Be very careful then how you live." Now, along with this caution comes the underlying truth that managing our life, or more precisely, managing our time, can be learned. It can actually be learned. Earlier, Jesse read from Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, where Moses says these words in verse 12. He says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now, the first word in that verse is teach. And that tells us that we can be taught how to be more effective with our time. It is possible by looking at two basic principles, again, from Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 through 17 on how we spend our time. And the first is that we are to analyze how we spend time. Back in Ephesians 5, again in verse 15, we said that the NIV said to be very careful how we live, right? The King James translates that verse a little more literally and says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly." In other words, see then that you walk, that you go, that you progress, that you make due use of your opportunities. and do it exactly, accurately, and diligently. You see, the choices that we make have to be the best possible choices in order to maintain our heavenward direction. We are to be full of care in the decisions that we make about our life. So God wants us to be wise in the ways that we manage our time. And again, how do we do that? Well, you know, we need to think about our purpose. We need to have a goal or an objective, and we need to know why we're here on earth. And so we're encouraged in verse 16 to make the most of every opportunity. And again, how do we do that? Well, you know, we've got to analyze the options before us and then make an educated choice. Think about it again. You know, we can be at the mercy of whatever comes at us, or we can be involved in our outcome and make good decisions. But again, how do we do that? That's still the question we have, right? Well, we need to sometimes just slow down, or maybe even just stop. And that can be hard for a lot of people. It's hard for me sometimes. We're so used to running around and being busy for the sake sometimes of just being busy that we don't stop and take a good look at all of what we're doing. But that's what verse 15 said, right? To look carefully at your life. So really, think about it. What is it that's consuming the majority of your time? What is it? Because when you figure that out, then you know what's consuming your life. It's just like if we want to do better at saving money, you know? We first need to figure out where we're losing it. And so we need to figure out where we're losing our time. In other words, what's the source of our time wasters? Is it playing games on your phone or your tablet? Is it maybe reading too much, junk novels or whatever that's out there? But again, it's like money. And in money, we have a control. We call it a budget. Just think about the financial mess that someone can get into if all they do is spend and spend and spend and don't keep any track of their spending or how much they've spent. It's just ends up a mess. They end up broke, you know? Back when Jesus was talking to the crowds in Luke chapter 14 about what it meant to follow him, Jesus gave this illustration starting in verse 28. This is Luke 14, verse 28. He said, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? And the unspoken answer is, yes, of course he will. And so we have a budget for our money, you know, because a budget's purpose is telling you, you know, where your money is going to end up going rather than wondering where it went. Now, if we find ourselves asking ourselves all the time, where did my time go today, you know, then there's a pretty good chance that things are already out of control. Because if you don't know where your time is going, then you're simply not in control. Which means that you need to stop and analyze your lifestyle. So what's one of the best ways to do that? Well, you know, if you have a checkbook, you usually write down your transactions. Or if you're like me and you like to use your phone, I have an app to do that. And if you're trying to watch your weight, then it's best to keep a food diary. And you can either use paper again or maybe, you know, your smartphone or something to do that. That way you could check out, hey, this food is not making me as healthy as I need to be. I need to change that. Well, the same thing is true for trying to be careful and make the most of every opportunity and be wise in our choices. So here's a little suggestion for you. For a couple of days, let's say two or five, at least two, so you have a comparison, write down what you did and how much time it took you to do what you did. And again, you know, if you have an app, you can easily do that with a calendar app or something like that, or you can write it on paper. And I'll admit that's going to be kind of boring and tedious for a while, but if you do it for a few days, then, and make sure you pick a weekday and a weekend day, because if you just pick Saturday and Sunday, you say, well, I slept in until 10. You know, that's not going to work. You need to do like a weekday and a weekend day, okay? Anyway, then you take a look at everything that you did on those days and you start asking yourself the tough questions. You know, you look at your log and you say, is that really the way I want to spend my life? Is that really the best use of my time? Is God pleased with how I'm using my time? And when we do that, then we're doing what verse 15 says. We're looking carefully at our life. And once we've done that, once we've analyzed our lifestyle, then we're ready for the second basic principle from Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. And that is that we are to prioritize how we spend our time. Again, reading the text, just to refresh it for us, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, we're told to be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Let's go ahead and focus this time on verse 17. Where we're told to not be foolish, to not be unwise. And we're told that because, you know, we can make foolish choices. You ever hear of an ugly sweater contest during this time of the year? Even if it's virtual, you know, that is the result of a foolish choice. Of course, some people do it on purpose, but a lot of people, that started accidentally, you understand? Well, because people made bad choices. See, so how can we not be foolish? Well, the rest of verse 17 tells us how. He writes, but understand what the Lord's will is. In other words, we are to put it all together so that we can know the Lord's will from the scriptures. And again, why do that? Because that's the Christian's focus. We are to focus our time and our energy on God's will for our life. Because, you know, it's our goal, really, to please him. Now, what we just said only makes sense to you and me as a Christian. Think about it. If God put me on this earth, then God has something for me to do on this earth. And as a Christian, I believe that. And so we better do that, right? Because that means that we have a meaning and a purpose and a goal, and it's a worthwhile thing for us to do because God has given it to us. Of course, for an unbeliever, none of that probably makes any sense until they come to understand that there is meaning and purpose and worthwhile things to do that God has planned for us. And since my reward in heaven is based upon what I do now, then I need to ask, did I do the right stuff with my time? You know, did I do the right stuff with my money, with my gifts, and everything else? Now, verse 17 tells us that we can understand what the Lord's will is. So again, how do we do that? Well, the easy answer is the Bible, right? The Bible is God's word to you and me on how to have a positive relationship with him. And how to have a positive relationship with one another. Think about it. It's all about knowing God's will for our life, you know, which is why we need to make Bible study a regular part of our personal life. That's something to budget into our time, especially now with COVID-19. There are stay-at-home orders now in California and other parts of the country and even the world. What have I got to do with all my time? How about read the Bible, you know? And so after we've analyzed and prioritized as Christians the most important things in our life, what we should find out is that those things that are the most important are what pleases God. Because at the end of our very brief time here on this earth, when it's all said and done, God isn't going to care about the rest. God isn't going to care that you got the level 574,000 in Angry Birds, you know. Think about it. When we've got our focus right, then it actually simplifies our life. And things become less fuzzy and foggy or whatever. And things get more clear and we can see where we're going and where we're headed. Of course, by now, you know, you can tell that we're not talking at all about how to get more done in less time, right? Instead, we've been talking about how to do less and be happier and more pleasing to God by just doing what he says pleases him. And that's what Jesus means in Matthew 6:33 when he says to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. He's asking us to prioritize God in our lives. And that's simply because, you know, when you think about things out there, there's absolutely no way we can do everything, you know? And God doesn't expect us to do everything. Besides, not everything is worth doing anyway. But we are each individually responsible to do with our life what God has put us here to do. And if we only do that, if we only focus on that, then that sure does simplify our life a whole lot. And we'll find out that we enjoy life a whole lot more like God intended for us to live. Now, during this time of the year, this season, if you will, we can become quite overwhelmed with all kinds of demands upon our time. And COVID really does make this all the more stressful. My advice to you is to learn to simply say no. And that might be hard, especially if it's for someone close to you. But just say, nope, I really can't. And that's because, again, you simply can't please everybody. It's just not possible. Even Jesus couldn't please everybody, and biblically, he wasn't supposed to. And neither are we. Jesus' goal was to do the will of the Father. And guess what? That's our goal too. To please God. You know, we just only need to please God. So put first things first. Put God first. You'll live a happier holiday season every season of your life, even during all this COVID stuff. Again, just analyze your lifestyle. Look carefully at what you're doing, and then prioritize what's important and understand the will of God. You know what's amazing? In only around 3.5 years, Jesus did all that the Father sent him to do. He gave his life for you and me, so that whether we live to be 8, 18, 80, or 108, or I don't know how long you live anymore, you know, we can all have the same hope of heaven. Jesus lived for us, and he wants us to live for him. It just takes a few minutes out of our life to confess Jesus as Lord, repent of our sins, and be baptized into him. There's no other name on earth or under the earth by which anyone will be saved other than Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12. And those few minutes are very well spent because it defines the rest of eternity. Again, if anyone has the need to share or seek prayer or to become a Christian for the first time, I would like to encourage you to message us through Facebook or YouTube, or you can email me directly at minister@ovchurch.org, and we'll help you out. Let's pray. Most Holy Father in heaven, again, we do so thank you for all that you've blessed us with. Father, we thank you for the ability to choose. We thank you for giving us time, gifts, talents, and abilities. Father, we pray that as we draw closer to you, that we'll make the right choices with our time to give glory to you, and Father, live the way you would have us live. We pray for your blessings upon all those in need. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Again, we want to thank you for making us a part of your Lord's Day, and pray that you will assemble with us every Sunday right here on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you for watching, and God bless.